Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weird 60 Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we've got a fantastic show for you this evening. We have some fantastic guests going to be here this evening. It's Anita Cox, and Heaven Havens is going to be here this evening. We also got a special guest coming in later, Tony Wade, is going to be here this evening as well. He's going to talk a little bit about his book as well. But we're going to have some fun with the ladies tonight. So sit back and relax as we bring you Weird 60 Radio. Number is 917-889-8206, or go to the chat room and indulge. Welcome to Weird 60 Radio. We're here this evening, and we're going to do our thing like we always do every week. And we got some special guests that's going to be here, and they're going to liven us up with some great erotica. We're going to be talking sexual tonight. So if you want to do some grown folks radio, the number is 917-889-8206. This is Weird 60 Radio, and we want you to talk all the shit you want to, because that's what we do on this show. So right now, I'm going to see if my guests are here. I'm going to bring them in, and we're going to talk a little bit to them and see what's going on with the ladies. First of all, I'm going to start with 291. It's Anita. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. And, you know, this is World Sexy Radio. This is Grown Folks Radio. So you do whatever you want to on this show. Talk all the
no
shit
censorship.
You want. No censorship whatsoever. That's right. And also, 352, state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Houston Havens.
Hey, how are you, Miss Havens?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I think I got y'all baffled tonight. This is Word Sexy Radio, so you can talk the way you want to. You said you're going to be doing erotica. We're going to be getting into that in a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to let you know that I'm going to give you both a chance to kind of sit back and tell us how you got into writing and how you got started, and then we'll get into your works. So who wants to go first?
Oh, I will let Anita go first.
Actually, I've been very public about it. You know, Anita Cox obviously is a pen name, my wonderful husband's creation. And I've been writing fiction under my real name of Kim Mulligan for years, and I just, you know, wanted to kind of unleash my naughtier side. You know, I mean, I kept writing these steamy sex scenes and books and having to pull back a little bit, so I thought, why the hell not? You know, sex sells, and everybody loves sex and has sex, so why not write about it?
That's right. We all like to fuck. That's what we do. So
exactly.
And I want y'all to read. First of all, before we go any further in this interview, I want you to relax, and I want you to be you. Okay? Not saying you got to cuss, but I just want you to do what you do. It's okay. This is explicit radio. We talk shit all the time. So that's what we do. And I got some other guests, co-hosts that will be here later. So you got to definitely be right when they come on. So I just want y'all to relax and be yourself. Now, Ms. Havens, are you ready?
I am ready.
Go ahead.
You want me to tell you why I got into writing or how I got into writing?
I want you to tell
writing.
Me why, or did you masturbate while you was writing your last one or what? Just tell us whatever the fuck you
want
to say.
Oh, okay. You want the good stuff right off the bat. No.
That's
no
right,
baby.
Come on.
First.
That's what we do here.
I want a dinner and a movie first. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll let y'all bring it the way you want to. But how did you get started in the writing?
Actually, very unromantically. No, I had a friend who was writing erotica, and of course, I just said, "Well, that's just sex," and I was into writing romance. And she said, well, yes, but it's still a book. And she's the one who kind of talked me into it. But I kind of mixed mine. So mine is really called erotic romance because I still give a plot and a story with mine like a romance book. But then I heat up scenes like an erotic book. So you get like two books in one. And it does have two storylines, a sex storyline and a story storyline. But, yeah, if you don't get all hot and wet and bothered when you're reading my scene, something's wrong.
That's what I say.
Something
I
is wrong.
I've
read
well.
Her book, and it's hot.
There you go.
Well,
now,
so
I'm an author as well, and I write erotica as well. But not only do we have erotica on the show, we have all types of authors. As a matter of fact, Tony's going to be bringing him in a few minutes. But the thing is we just want you to be yourself when you're here. And I am a firm believer that if you're going to write erotica, if it's not going to get you hot, how do you expect everybody else to get hot? I mean, what you expect
them
to do?
Oh, I agree.
If you don't have to stop and masturbate or fuck somebody or something, what is the purpose?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because Houston and I are actually friends, and we talk on the phone quite often, and I can tell you, hands up, that there's no problem with dropping the fuck word between the two of us. It comes out quite frequently.
We're both Irish girls, and we both talk like truck drivers.
Pretty much.
And that's what I was expecting from y'all. And when she mentioned that she wanted you, when she mentioned she wanted you, Houston, to come on the show as well, I figured it was some tag team event that you had going on. That's why I'm hoping that my other guest will be here so we can be able to handle you, because I don't know if we can handle both of y'all. But anyway, let me bring in.
Every man dreams about the menage a trois.
Okay, well, you know how it is. You know, I would just, you know,
well,
that's good. You know, we can do that. We, you know, we can handle that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's bring in Tony Wade real quick and see how he's doing, and then we're going to get in. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, we write menage.
Oh, Damn, ain't nothing wrong with that. See, I want y'all to get freaky like that. Talk shit like that, okay? That's what we're going to do. Okay, so hold on just a second. Let me get Tony in. Tony, what's going on, brother?
Hey, not much. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm glad you made it this week. Last week, something happened, technical difficulties, your ass didn't fucking make it, what happened? You probably was at work or something, I'm no, because Tony is a good friend of mine, that's why I talk shit to him like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He was probably busy with a menage, and he couldn't show up.
He might have been involved in something, I don't know. But anyway, it's good to have you on the show. So, Tony, let me let you know what's going on. We have two erotic sexual females on the show tonight, and they're going to be talking about their books, and you're going to be talking about yours, which is more of a fighting type deal. So we're going to let you get in first, and then we're going to let them come and just slice it up with sex. So Tony,
okay.
give us a little background on you real quick and let everybody know who you are, and speak to Anita. You have Anita Cox here, and you have Miss Houston Havens.
Houston, yeah.
Houston. Hello, ladies. How are you doing there? How you doing?
I'm more excited than a nun in a cucumber patch.
I started them off, man. I got them going now. Okay.
I know this. All right, well, anyway, my name is Tony Wade. I'm originally from Massachusetts. Moved myself down south so I could get a little heat. Got a little tired. I'm married to Caixa Rodriguez, who's an author as well. So we're a writing family. And everything that I am, it's, you know, when it comes to being an author, I owe that to her because she motivated. So,
okay, so. So
you know, he's getting lucky because he just gave his old lady props.
I did.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, my lady's an author as well. She has a book out, but we're going to talk about that later. Right now, I'm going to give the stuff to you guys because I want you all to be able to enjoy your interview as well as talk shit in your interview. As I was saying, you know how we do on Word Sex Radio. We don't give questions out. We just let you be who you are. And anybody that's listening, you want to call in, the number's 917-889-8206, Word Sexy Radio and Grown Folks Radio, we are. And also the chat room is open. If you got any questions in the chat room, we will ask the authors. Okay, so Tony, Vengeance is the name of your book, right?
Vengeance Unleashed.
Okay, well, give us a little bit about that. What the fuck is going on that you need to get some vengeance?
Okay. Well, my main character, her name is Sybil Rain, and she was brought up in the agency. She lost her family at a young age, and one of the people in the agency, one of the heads, took her in, her and her sister, raised them up. And what happens is Sybil decides after a while that she wants to leave the gang. She's tired of the game. She's tired. She doesn't want to do it anymore. Of course, the agency has a problem with it because she was the best that they ever trained. So they try tracking her down, you know, try getting her to change her mind. But in the course of trying to run, Sybil finds some things out about her past and about the agency that she didn't know about concerning her family. So now she's a little tight about it. She's very tight, and she's vowed at this point that she's going to take the agency out. She's going to be done with it. She's going to finish them off. And she's leaving behind a slew of bodies. She's done. The game playing is done, and she's on a rampage now.
Okay.
So she's taking vengeance out on her. They affected everything that she knew concerning that agency. Was pretty much a lie to her. So now she's done.
So is this going to be like a series, like a James Bond type thing, or is it a Bond Identity thing, or what is this like?
Yeah, you could actually say it was close to a Bond Identity character. Sybil's more that type of character she's like, I patterned her after Blade. Those who know who Blade is. But
yeah, we know.
Yeah, she's not a vampire or anything like that, but she has the accuracy, she has the, you know, she's got that vengeance going on. So.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. It's a three-part series. So right now, the book's out.
Does Sybil get some sex in the book?
Good boy. I mean, she's supposed to get some in the second book, but
You gonna let her fuck in the second book? Okay.
Okay, so she gets dinner in a movie. At least she gets that.
She's not getting, you know, she's not getting the movie. Maybe the dinner, but she's not getting the movie.
Yeah, right now,
okay.
She's getting vengeance. She's getting vengeance.
Yeah, see, you gotta understand, Sue's a get to business type of person. She's get down to business person. She's not a, I love you type of person. Her feelings, she always holds them inside because the things that she's had to do, she's been an assassin. She's had to go
through
stuff.
Yeah.
So she's not that type of girl who, a flower and candles type girl. She's a.
Yeah.
You cross
the
line.
I understand that character. It's she's very similar to the character that I have in my second book, Phantom Desire. She's a warrior type woman and a bodyguard. And
yeah.
She is like your girl, where she shuts down on the emotion side because she's so used to always presenting that very hard front. So I totally get what you're saying about your character.
Yeah, she has one person that she's always been close to. She's always
mm-hmm.
been knitted to this person.
Yeah.
And it would be, it's kind of similar to, their relationship's kind of similar to that, they used to be best friends as kids type relationship. So he cares a lot about her. She cares about him. But she's hard. He's always there when she comes back into town type deal.
Right.
Yeah, so I'll let them have a little playtime in the second book, which is halfway done now. But
sounds like did you see that movie that Zoe Saldana did? It was kind of like the, I want to say the Colombian or something of that effect, where she was brought up to be this
Colombiana
assassin. Yeah, that's what it was. She was an assassin.
Yeah.
And basically she was trying to get revenge back for what happened to her family with this cartel.
Yeah.
So that sounds pretty good.
And she was sexy as fuck in that movie.
Yeah, she was. You sound like you like women too. Okay, all right, so we're going to get into the sexual side of things here in a second. But I just wanted to get Tony in because Tony was supposed to be here
last week.
He has something going on, and he's here now. And Tony,
well,
you
want to do? I do want to apologize for that because I started a new job, and things got kind of funny and mixed up, and my whole schedule was just jacked, and it caused me because of the way things were going. My world kind of got a little flipped for a moment.
Right. Well, because I've been knowing you for quite some time, you and your wife, I think that. That is the reason why you're here, because if you were someone else, I would not have let you come. And I'm just being honest. I would have just like, fuck it, your ass ain't coming on. You fucked up. No, but anyway, Tony's a good guy. I like Tony. That's the reason why. That's the reason why he's here.
Okay,
and
so
he's going to help me with these ladies.
We don't
want to
get you mad at us.
You're welcome to stick around, Tony, because what I'm going to do here is I'm going to start letting these women get unleashed with their sexual desires and abilities here and tell us a little bit of what's going on in their books as well. And hopefully we'll have Cotton and the rest of them, hopefully, if they want to come in later. If not, then it's just be me and you or just me, whatever. I mean, because you can pop off whenever you want to. Just let me know. But Anita.
Well, Anita and I are going to get
first.
Together and sandwich you, Red Snapper, so that you can't get mad at us and demand we never get to come back to the show. Are you ready?
I am.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, you heard what they said they was going to do. They're going to sandwich me. Okay, so let's get started. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to let Anita go first and see what she's got going on. And Anita, I want you to tell me, what inspired you to write the way you do, and I know you're married. We're not talking about husbands and wives right now. We're just trying to just figure out the sexual side of Anita Cox. So let's do that.
Well, are we talking about my books, or are we talking about me here?
Well, it's the books, and I'm sure the books are you, right?
Well, yeah, there's part of me. Now, actually, when I started, I knew I wanted to get into erotica, and I started like most authors do. You either sit down and plot something out, or you get a story lined down. And I had just bombarded in my head. I couldn't really center myself on anything. And then I met a woman who was in her 30s who had only had sex with her husband. That was it. And it was boring ass, missionary, nothing exciting. It was a blowjob for him, was an exciting night. And then they got divorced. So she was really just fucking beyond. She was, you know, sexually frustrated to the point where masturbation wasn't even working for her and just, you know, didn't know what the hell was going on. She was 30-something, and nobody had ever eaten her out. Nobody had ever done anything. And, of course, my dirty ass mind was like, okay, well, what if this went the other way? What if she all of a sudden got an education, and that was where Candy was born? And Candy goes from pretty much that girl's situation to she goes to a very interesting sex therapy session and gets a partner to play and experiment with, and when the book ends, you know, she's having her first menage.
Now, this is Candy of the Dirty White Candy series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Dirty White Candy?
Candy? The name of the series, The Dirty White Candy.
I like that shit.
Tell them how you came up with that title.
Or is it just, what made you come up with that?
Well, Candy is the main character's name, and her therapist had, you know, when she was talking about looking for safe sexual partners, she was actually wanting to experiment with, you know, a couple, and she had never done anything like that. So her therapist had given her a web address where some of her clients had gone, and she put a profile up and had to come up with a name. So she just, you know, being a white girl, and her name's Candy, and it was easy, Dirty White Candy. She just put it in as being kind of flippant, and it accepted her profile name as Dirty White Candy. So that's where that name came from.
Okay.
That's
your title.
Yes. Simple shit. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you,
real
I was
life,
interested.
Man, the craziest shit that is in real life, I'm telling you.
Right, exactly. So, you know, what I'm trying to do is, and we're sexy, I just want everybody to understand that what we do here is we interview people who like to write and who like to do poetry, and we're not stuck to just one race. We're stuck to everybody who likes to write. So
no,
I wonder if
that's
where
the name came from. That's all.
Right. No problem.
I'm just saying.
I'm just letting you know how I came up on you guys, because I saw Anita. I don't know. Somehow I saw you on Facebook. You looked interesting. And then it just seemed like, and then I saw you was writing erotica. I said, well, you know, I want to get the white girl side of it, because you always get the black side most of the time, a lot of it, how it's done.
That's
on this end.
That's because it's so damn sensual.
But I want to, well, it's sensual on our side, too, but we get ghetto sex up in there, too. But you guys, y'all throw that damn white girl shit in and you know, that yeah, kind of shit, you know, and I just wanted to get it from y'all. Just hear that, you know what I'm saying? Differently. So, because y'all like to throw some drugs and some sexual problems and shit, and next thing you know, you got rubber suits on and all kinds of shit. So I just wanted to, you know, get your end of it. You know, it could be a fucking machine, factory, warehouse, which I want to put that in one of my books where the girl ends up in a fucking machine warehouse. Matter of fact, I'm going to put that in the book I'm writing now. And anyway, you know, because nobody writes about that shit that I know of. And just have it in there with the damn machines. She gets fucked to death by these machines. And then, you know, as torture.
There's actual machines out there to do shit like that, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why I know. That's the reason why I want to write this shit, because I've seen those machines that do it. Anyway, I wanted to open a warehouse like that one time and just have it and just have women just pay whatever, come in and get fucked and leave. But anyway, I think that's interesting. So
you'd be a millionaire if you got that one going.
I bet.
Holy shit.
The only thing is I would hate to do that, because then men would get replaced by machines, and the machines, you know, they don't stop. So,
I think you
still want to have a feeling with
a
guy, though. I hope not, because the machines scare me sometimes.
No,
I look at those machines,
I'll
be like,
those are a matter of necessity, not desire, yeah. I think, for the most part.
Exactly. You got to remember, women, we want the hot sex because we want to be able to touch those hot bodies your boys have. And
well, that's great.
Yeah, you can, and the machine can't give you that. And girls,
no, but it'll make your ass nut like a motherfucker, though. I mean, because you'll be like, at least in the movies, they make it like that. The bitch is shooting, she's squirting all over the place. You know,
the
it's just,
lie.
You know,
the movies lie, Red.
Okay.
They lie.
Okay.
Well, now, Anita, you shouldn't say that.
Girl,
well,
you
it's
know
not
it's
a lie,
true.
but But you know, you're right. I just don't. They try to make it seem that way sometimes, and I'm not worried.
Well, when
they
exaggerate just a little. Maybe they got a wee bit of Irish in them. They say the guy came buckets. That means buckets. I don't
now
like
you know where the hazmat suits are coming in.
Yeah, you ain't lying. But I just wanted to, you know, get your okay. So give me an average. How you come up with a scene, and then we're gonna get into. Am I saying your name right? Is it Miss Havens or Miss Havens? Am I saying it wrong?
No, it's Houston Havens.
Okay, Houston Havens, and that's interesting how you came up with that name. I'm sure you're gonna tell us how you got that pseudonym, but.
That's not a pseudonym. That's my name.
What? That is your government name. That's an off the chain name. I like that. You didn't have to change it. So everybody who reads your books know it's you.
Yeah, it's me.
God damn.
The first name is my name, but the last name is a pseudonym. I should say that. But the first name is mine.
Okay, I was going to say that shit can't be real. But if you say it is.
Not the last one, but the first part. The first part is mine. Houston is my real name.
Okay.
So it's semi-real. A girl named Houston.
Well,
my mother was created.
The chat room is agreeing with you
way.
Girls. They're saying that nothing's good like the real thing, which I'm glad to hear because, you know, this machines, they may get you off and shit, but, you know, you still want to be able to hold on to somebody and all that. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see if I got
the
my co-host here. DB? DB, are you here, brother?
Crazy.
I'm
so crazy with the men's muscles. We got to have the muscles in front of us. I mean, that's part of the whole thing that turns you on is being able to touch his muscles.
Well, and there is no chemistry with machinery either, man. There's, you know, when you got two people and their hearts are racing and they just can't wait to rip each other's clothes off, a machine just does not give you that.
No, the heat, the energy.
Well, I want y'all to welcome my co-host, DV Hint. He's here, and... I'm going to bring him up to speed real quick. We were talking to a couple of – we have Tony Wade is on here as well, and we also have Miss Anita Cox, and we have Houston Havens. They're erotic authors. Of course, you know who Tony is. And we are talking about machines and different things, and we're trying to get these women to get as fucking raunchy as possible. But I want them to talk a little bit about their characters and how they come up with the characters. She told me one way how she came up with the Candy White, but just wanted to, you know, just get them to both kind of elaborate on what made them get interested in this genre and if they're interested in writing another genre. So DV, he's an author as well. He's written several books to his right as well. And DV is a freak. So go ahead, DV.
what an introduction. Good evening, ladies. Can you hear me?
So go ahead and ask your question because I know you got some questions for him.
Well, I haven't been listening. I just got in, and I hate to bring a downer, but the reason why I was so late is because a coworker of mine passed. I was on the phone, and you know we were making arrangements for everybody at the work to make it to his wake. So,
Sorry to hear that.
But on the brighter news, you know, like I was really curious about you ladies. With the plethora of erotica that's out nowadays, who was your inspiration? What author or what actress or, you know, whatever, what inspired you to get into this genre?
I just got done talking. I'll let Houston take this one.
All right.
Oh. Well, to be honest, Anita is one of my major inspirations when I read her books. I love her writing. I love her voice. And when I started deciding that I was going to go into this, I was reading her books. So I'm not only a friend of Anita's, but I'm also a fan of her writing. I just love all of her books.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I hope 50 Shades of Grey didn't have anything to do with you guys getting into this.
Other than a steaming pile of shit, no.
I'm glad you said that because it is a steaming pile of shit. But anyway,
it is.
She's got a movie.
Sucks, man.
Yeah, it does suck. I mean, it has about 8,000 reviews, and about probably half of those are 3 stars and below. But I have to give it to her. She's got a movie coming out, and it's probably going to suck. But, you know, people want that kind of shit, so that's what they get.
You know, it just terrifies me, man, because it's so dangerous with, you know, if you're into BDSM or you know anything about it, safety and you know, consent are two of the hugest things in there. And she fucking ran over that with a truck, backed over it, and then puked on it. I mean, she just didn't really, I mean, it's dangerous.
Up.
That
yeah.
book is dangerous to young people who are looking to get into it because that dude was a controlling and everything else. It just, it's not healthy, man. It's not healthy. And it wasn't sexy for me.
Right. It's a different kind of bondage, one that I'm familiar with but not excited by. So when I was reading, I was kind of like, you know, it was clear that she didn't know really what she was talking about. But, I mean, not everybody does.
No, the BDSM community is pretty upset about it, actually.
Right.
Are they really? I'm glad you're
very.
Telling me this shit. Are you part of that? No, I'm just playing. Anyway.
I have no secrets.
Say what? What did you say?
Well,
I'll tie your ass up and whip you if you want me to.
Are you promising that one again? You're not allowed to say that.
I knew they were going to be off the chain. I knew they were going to be off the chain. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, one of my reviewers.
That's why I had to get you guys straight in the beginning. I had to tell you to open the fuck up. Don't be all like you would be on some other show. We don't send out questions for a reason because we want you to shoot from the hip and be yourself and explain your crap. It's your crap. We want you to explain it. Your way. Go ahead.
I said I was excited as a nun in a cucumber patch. How much more excited could I be?
Well, I don't know. Better than, I guess, in a gay motherfucker with in the back of the truck or with a bunch of dicks. Okay. That works.
Okay,
and I'm not gay, but just so
close.
You know. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay, so you
I lost
are
the
inspired by
I totally
your friend.
Lost it.
Oh,
sorry,
what?
Inspired,
so
yes, by Anita.
She does it.
She does
okay.
Excellent books, really excellent books. She inspired me.
Well, you know, another thing that she does that got my attention was there's a network that she's part of. Can you kind of talk about that network? Are you over that network? You came
the
up with that network?
The Erotic Authors Guild?
Yeah.
The Erotic Authors Guild.
Right.
I'm a board member. Dylan Cross is the founding member of it, but I am a board member. I just sit on the board. And right now it is in the infancy stages. We're getting members now and getting some tools up there. A lot of what Dylan spends a lot of time doing is fighting pirates, basically. There are a lot of sites out there, man, that just scoop up our books. And listen, I don't have a problem with giving people books. Anybody who's ever emailed me and said, can I have a free book? I would love your book, but my budget's tight. I sent them the book. But the thing is, when a pirate does that, they rob me of that interaction with a potential fan to say, sure, here's the book, man. I mean, listen, I've been down and out. I had 2009 was a shitty year for me, man. I had 1 year left to pay on my car, but I lost my job. My husband was laid off, and my car got repossessed, and we damn near lost our house. I know what it's like to be poor. I don't have a problem giving my book to somebody, but that's my right. And that's kind of what the Erotic Authors Guild is doing, you know, it's fighting the pirates that don't have a right to give our stuff away.
Right.
Well, I don't think they realize that they're taking the food out of our mouths and out of our children's mouths to, you know, I don't think anyone would go to work for free, and they don't realize that they're being entertained by the words we write, but in the same token, we write them so we can make money to, you know, do what everybody does, which is pay the bills and feed their kids. But
right.
So the pirates
well, you know,
is
it's
big,
interesting. It's interesting that y'all bring that up because we have a plethora of people, I'm going to use DV's word, a plethora, I guess I'm saying it right, of people who write these books, spend all this time, months, getting it edited, getting it to a point where they need it to be where it's presentable to the world, and then they put it out there for 99 cents. What the fuck is that about?
I
mean, I understand
really
you're trying to, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with offering a short story, a 20,000-25,000 word novel or novelette for 99 cents. But I think a lot of people do that, and the you know, giveaways for free, because, you know, this, it's very diluted. The pool is very diluted. There are a shit ton of books, a ton of authors out there, and it's really hard to stand out in a sea of, you know, you've got actual authors, people like us who are, you know, I can speak for Houston because I know, because I talk to her all the time. We're putting 13, 14, 15, 16 hours in a day between writing, editing, and marketing. And then you have these dumbasses that put unedited stuff with a cover that looks like it was done by a five-year-old, and we're competing with them and trying to stand out above them. And it's not easy, because when they click on a genre on Amazon, there's a sea of books to choose from.
Right.
I do think a lot of them use that as a marketing strategy, especially if they're new authors to the market. They will drop the price down to 99 cents as a special, so that they could try to interest or hook the readers into trying them because they're new. And most, a lot of people don't want to spend, you know, $6 for a book if they've never read the author.
Right.
Which is interesting, because Amazon does give you that choice to click in the inside of the book, and they'll give you the first, you know, two chapters, which would give you a good idea of if the book is worthy of buying it, you know. But I think that's what a lot of people do. They use the 99 cents as a temporary, you know, for a week or something. They'll drop it down, and then they'll bring it up to its regular price. So some of it is a marketing strategy.
Yeah, but Amazon is using the same strategy. Because books are being sold for so less, they're now leveraging the big companies, you know, the big labels, to sell their books for cheaper, which then devalues all the books under it. So it's the same strategy that they're using, because they say, look, you know, we're selling all these 99-cent, you know, quotation books, so we don't really need you guys to put it in a downloadable format, and we can just do without you. And so that's
the
idea that they have.
I respectfully disagree.
Plus they get 35 cents
really
each book, so. So, and
yeah,
Amazon gets
35 cents
each book, so even if it's 99 cents, they're going to get something. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it. I just wanted to get your side of that. I just wanted to get your taste. But basically, now I heard that you said that Anita was your favorite. Now, Anita, who was your favorite author or someone that inspired you besides Candy White to get into the game, into the literary game? Who else helped you in that?
Well, when I first started writing, as I said earlier, I wrote a lot of crime fiction and thrillers, and Joe Conrath was a huge inspiration in that genre. Getting into the erotica, you know, I mean, I was pretty public on Facebook about the fact that I used to own a swing club. So the whole sex thing was not new to me. And putting it in a natural...
Somehow I knew that shit. Maybe I've seen you guys swinging somewhere. Anyway, no, go ahead.
But, you know, it adds a little bit authenticity to the voice in the novels because, you know, unlike the book we were talking about earlier, it's painfully obvious when you read my books that, I've been there, done that. I know what I'm talking about.
And that's good because, you know, a lot of times people write shit they don't know about. And we have to be, as authors, be able to have a way to convince our readers that we know what we're talking about, or at least have done research in the area.
Research is the number one. You definitely have to do your research, even when you know what you're talking about, to bring in the minor details, because when you know a subject, you tend to leave out the little details until you remind yourself through your research to bring that in for the...
You know, if you're going to write a gay scene, you got to make sure you don't have to really experience it. But the thing is, how you got to write that scene, because somebody gay might be reading it. They're going to be like, that ain't how it goes. You know, they're going to let you know.
No, they're going to let you know that shit is not.
Yeah, what is
it's
it?
It's like the verbiage that you use and the different ways you describe things. It's like a foregone conclusion that you already know it. So it's hard to translate that to somebody who doesn't. It's like, remember, like a friend of mine who wrote a military book, he had all these military terms. I was like, okay, well, I get the book, but I have no idea what these military terms mean. And so he's like, you know what, I should have went and explained a little more because the terms that we use aren't necessarily the same ones that you use. You know,
exactly.
And it's kind of like with sex, yeah. You know, we have to talk to people sometimes like, you know, like they're beginners. Like all of our readers are beginners, and that's how you're explaining it.
Exactly.
So
we're
using
because,
cock or are we using dick? What are we using, cock or dick? What are we using?
Cock.
Okay, because I'm starting to see now on TV there are some now that are using dick, and you know they're just going with dick now. I mean, so is it cock still or is it dick or what? I don't know.
In erotica.
What is that? Go ahead.
In erotica, they're still using cock, and every now and then you throw in a dick.
Right.
Okay. So, and a tool, and a member, and a shaft.
I know. I don't use flowery euphemisms. I call it what it is. But you know, the thing is, I mean, you can't just say cock through the whole book. It gets very redundant. I mean, it has to use
it does.
More than one
it really
word.
Does.
But yeah, I don't use flowery descriptions, and I can tell you because I've read Houston's book. She doesn't either, and I think that it's just more real. You know, I mean, I cannot stand a book that's describing a woman's vagina like a fucking flower. It looks nothing like a flower.
You're right. It doesn't look like a flower. That's why we use two nanny. We use pussy. We use whatever. You know, we use the different terminology. So white women don't have a nickname for their pussies. I mean, like black women use poo nanny, they use different names. You guys don't have
I
enough.
Call it a
pussy
at home.
Coochie.
I call it a pussy.
I mean, you call it a pussy, that's it? Okay. All right.
I call
that
it
works.
A pussy.
Okay. Okay. But I mean, no, cock, I mean, I'm going to tell you, now let me tell you something. When I was growing up, I'm getting to age myself here. When I was growing up, cock meant dick, or meant pussy when I was growing up. So how the fuck did it change from? Yeah, when I was growing up, and I grew up in the 60s and 70s. So I'm just wondering how the fuck did that shit change from a pussy to a dick? Now it makes sense to be a dick because a cock is a rooster is a male. So I don't understand how the fuck that they used to call it pussy back in the day. I don't know, but anyway, it was a trip. You see, you never heard that before.
Okay.
I'm sure. I guess. Okay, but. DV, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I've watched my share of flicks. You know, especially
that might have been just in the African American arena, maybe that it was that way.
Okay.
Maybe it's always been you know, cock as a dick in the white world or something.
I've never heard it as anything else.
I'm starting to hear women now. I'm on TV. They're using dick, white women. And, you know, it's like dick, fuck it. Man, you know, it's like cock. It's like with emphasis on cock. You know, or you know, it's not there anymore. So that's why I asked the question. It's just trying to be
funny.
Well,
personally, I think cock is more. It elicits more visual than dick, because you know,
really?
Dick is a guy's name, really. You know, Dick for Richard.
Yeah, swinging Richard.
But
that shit sounds good though.
Where.
But
cock
is that more? How is that more?
Look,
well,
okay. We have a lot of little colloquialisms for dick. You know, cock is just kind of one of those things that makes it sound nicer, even though it's still, you know, dick.
He didn't say cock.
Let me suck your cock.
Yeah.
Let me suck your cock. I don't know. Let me suck your dick. One of those. I like dick better. Okay, but
well,
you know, that's
tell
me.
You're getting into linguistics.
What is that again? I'm sorry. I heard two things.
As far as linguistics go, the reason that the word fuck is used so frequently and for so many purposes is because of the hard emphasis on the CK part. When you're cussing someone out or you're talking about
sex.
Yeah, and cock has the same...
power. It's called a power word.
Yeah, it's a power word. You have the same emphasis and there's a staccato at the end of the tongue. So that's why it's become a more dominant word.
Understood. Now, don't take this wrong, ladies. I'm going to say this. DB, that's why I wanted to have these white women on here, because they give me that side of it. Because the only way you're going to learn how to have the whole erotic scene of all sides, you need to get that side as well. So that's the reason why. And I'm just being funny. so don't take me seriously.
You've got
I love
me
you, girl. Well, that's what I'm saying, because Anita's the one that got you on the show, and I'm glad that she brought you on, because she said, I want my friend. I was like, okay, no problem.
I'm glad. So,
well, it's funny, because I listened to your show, you had a bunch of church women on, and I was listening to your show, and I'm like, oh, hell yeah, Houston's got to be there.
Well, yeah, put two Irish girls up here, and we're going to corrupt everything in front of us.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, those church women that night, these were women that, not necessarily were church women, but they tried to play this role that they're writing this book about how they had experiences with their children, I guess, and they were writing the stories were about how they were dealing with their kids in different ways. And, they were trying to make themselves like they were clean and didn't hang, never fucked. The kids just appeared and shit. I don't know where they came from. I guess they just walk in the room and they had a kid. And, you know, it was just like, here we are, you know, and I'm just tripping. Yeah, I'm just tripping on how this kid is acting this way and shit. So, yeah, it was funny. But and I think DV left me that day. I think I was on that show by myself.
Yeah, I don't remember. I do not remember this conversation. I'm pretty
sure. Yeah, it was fucked up. But, Tony, you're here. We ain't forgot you, Tony. We want you to bring in some of your shit.
Just because you write what you write.
We wanted you to bring in what your thought process is. We want you to comment, too. You don't have to say anything right now, but we want you to talk about that. So, and the chat room is definitely going off. I see somebody here talking about bigger, bigger, bigger. Are we talking about dick size or what? What are we talking about here?
Okay. Where the hell is this chat thing at?
Cock size. Okay, go ahead. What was that comment?
Oh, I saw it. Never mind. Go ahead.
No, say what you got to say. This is word sexy. Like I said, you can say whatever you want to say.
Where the hell is this chat window at? I had no idea, but I just
Okay, the chat room. You don't see it because that's
looking at it.
They said dick is a bad word in the chat.
Okay, she's saying that dick is a bad word. Okay. Now, if you think dick is a bad word, call in. The number is 917-889-8206. This is Word Sexy Radio. We want you to tell us why dick is a bad word. Okay.
Well,
people have their own
sticker.
What was that again? I'm sorry.
They said they need that on a bumper sticker and that it's not a flower.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know how they came. That's Harlequin romances that started all that shit, using euphemism and different things, you know, to try to make something dirty without really being dirty. That's where that comes in. But, Tony, what do you think about all this? You've been listening, and what do you have to say, man? Because I know you got some comments or something you want to bring into this.
No, I broke in. I did something with, matter of fact, with DV. I love the topic. I do. I don't think dick is a bad word. I've been using it forever. That's what I use. When it comes to erotica, I mean, you gotta get down and dirty though. You gotta feel that thing. For me, I'm one that's all about the words. I mean, I gotta feel what I'm reading. I have to feel what I'm reading. So if they wanna call it dirty, all right, we'll call it dirty. But I gotta feel what I'm reading. I don't need you to flower it up, so to speak. I don't need you to come with these pleasantry words. I mean, the act is what it is, and I gotta feel it. So by all means, dick, pussy, use it all. Use it all.
I'm a firm believer because people use them. So why do we have to make it clean when we want to be dirty? Some people, I guess, like the fact that they want to sit back and
imagery
and use their own dirty words in their own mind. But there are lots of people that want to read those words on the paper, and it gives them that liberation of saying it even more in their mind or whatever they said if they're reading out loud or whatever. I don't write no other way when I do erotica. Whenever I'm writing erotica, it's all the words of whatever the fuck I want to say. So she's writing.
Yeah, but I tell you, there's a big difference. I've been self-published, and I've been published through a publishing house, and the publishing house will put the hammer down on you if it gets too vulgar.
Well, of course. And since you said that, since you were mainstream before and you also have self-published, are you mainstream now?
As Anita Cox, I am published with Liquid Silver Books, although the rest of the stuff I publish will probably be self-published. And as a Kim Mulligan, everything is self-published. I just straight up did it myself.
And you have more freedom and stuff. I love that because you have more freedom. I feel like you said, the mainstream will put restrictions on you and what you can do and time restraints and all that shit. But
Yeah,
I agree. You know, when you write what you want to and you put it out the way you want to and just edit it well and you just get it out there, I mean, you can say what you want. I mean, it works for the people. That's because you have an audience that wants that. I don't think that if I was writing erotica, I could not write without saying those things because you'd be like, what the fuck's wrong with you? That ain't the way you write. That's not your voice. You know,
right.
So, you know.
And that is a challenge when you have a publisher involved. I mean, if the editor says absolutely not, I mean, you know, they chopped part of one of my books, and I wasn't real happy about it, but, you know, you got a publishing contract, you do what you're told.
Right. I'm going to have to go and get some of your books that you wrote through them and compare the difference between your self-published stuff and that. And how many books do you have out, both of you ladies? How many books do you both have out?
I think I have 11.
I've written about 12, and I've only published the erotica. And I have Sinful Surrender is out, and it's book number 2 in the series of 7 books. Phantom Desire will be coming out very soon. So
have you guys ever thought about writing with Cyrene Publications? Because they write all that crazy ass shit. They write about bestiality and all that. They write all that shit. There's no restrictions. You just menage a trois, animals, paranormal, fucking, you know, ghostly, you know, all that. It's all there.
Well, my menages have quite a few. Like I said, my story plot line, I braid 3 different stories together because I have the series plot line that I braid with the erotic plot line, and then I have a story plot line for each individual book. So I braid all 3 together into 1 book. And I'm with a publishing house, and I plan on staying with a publishing house.
Yeah, so you got to do what they say. I got you.
But the house that I'm going with the second book, they're fairly very open with what you can put in there. It's up to the author's discretion, how far she wants to go. If she's into bestiality, I don't know. I'm not into that, so I don't think I could really write it to its full potential because I'm not into it either.
I was just saying that they do have publishing houses that are out there that you can get as raw as you want. And I know Cyrene Publications is one of them. That's the only reason why I said that. But I noticed in the chat room someone said they don't like the word cunt.
I had a reviewer. I actually put that in there. Yeah, I had a reviewer on. I saw one of the books I was reviewing blasted the author for using the word cunt in the book. And I read the book. I didn't think it was a big deal.
Yeah, well, I got blasted one time for, and DV, I say it almost every week now, it seems like.
Yeah, every week.
I got blasted for not having some goddamn condoms being used in my book. He didn't put any condoms on. They're having sex. They should be getting some kind of venereal disease and got bad reviews because I wouldn't practice safe sex in a fantasy, in a fiction book.
Just, you know, that's what
but there's a way around that. It's like in mine. I put mine in the future, and all venereal diseases have been cured, so they don't have to have that. Although, in the third book that will be coming out, I do have one man use like a condom sort of thing, but it's futuristic. It's something that a liquid that he drops on his cock, and it molds around it. And
interesting.
Oh, I'm very creative.
Wow.
Yeah, my first book, Simple Surrender, is full of some interesting stuff. It's talking about the heart machine, which is real. It's talking about torsion fields. It has a lot to do with a lot that actually does exist in our world today, but most of us don't know about it.
Especially when you write futuristic stuff, you're going to have to, because you got them scientist motherfuckers out there that read this shit, and these nerdy always studying and know about quantum physics and shit. If you writing about something in scientific and it's not right, they're gonna let you know.
Oh,
that's not possible.
Yeah,
that can't happen. You can't do that because of the superfluities of the influence of the how the factor of, you know, they're gonna tell you that shit ain't gonna fucking happen. You know what I mean? They're gonna let you know. So
that's
yeah,
true.
you gotta do your research. If you got a mechanical dick that works on helium, then you need to have the science that shows how that shit's supposed to work.
I'm a geek when it comes to that. I'm into all of that stuff. I'm into remote viewing because my heroine happens to be a remote viewer, which I call a mind traveler because most people don't know the term remote viewing. But that's what
explain remote viewing to us.
Well, remote viewing
Shillong.
Is remote
Somebody
viewing
says
is
Shillong.
Actually the technique of viewing things at a distance. It's what President Ronald Reagan had referred to in a public address as psychic spy, which the Russians had acquired these spies first. And it's
kind of like a voyeurism
analyze.
Type thing? Kind of voyeurism?
Yes, kind of like
type?
Voyeurism, yes.
Okay.
They can act, but their senses, it's actually as though they're a ghost in the room. They can actually pick up smells, taste. They can, you know, go through the walls. It's really like a ghost. But it is actually Joe McMoneagle is one of the top remote viewers, or was at the time in the 80s. He was one of our top remote viewers, and that's a very real thing. So, and I happened to get into kind of remote viewing for a while through the Monroe Institute, and I did some study in it, and that's why my spy is actually a remote viewer, but it's like a futuristic spy. So that's
you know, I'm really telling myself now. I'm starting to see Westworld and Death Race 2000 type shit while you're talking here.
Definitely. It's very into what's going on in the movies right now because we have a lot of dystopian movies out. And
right.
It is futuristic world where the big, you know, 5G has actually tried to bring what we know, our world that we live in today has actually tried to bring it down. And they now have moved underground. You've heard about all the dump sites, right, that we actually have, that our governments are building worlds under the ground. And if you go on the Internet, you'll see a lot of this. And I have my book in story form in pictures. So my readers who enjoy the book can actually go over to Pinterest and start looking at the pictures, and they will see, you know, underground buildings and things like that, that supposedly there's evidence that they do in fact exist. There are cities under us.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So that's what I based my story, the plot story on. And then naturally, then you can get back to hot sex. But you have to put hot sex in there. But there are a lot of things that will interest the readers when they start reading. If you give them a full story, I think, you know, they won't mind, you know, the science part that's in it. You always have to have two stories going, at least in a book, if not three. So
right.
That's what I did
exactly.
With Surrender. And I'm hoping to capture a lot of the male readers as well as the female readers, because men like sex as much as women, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for
you
think? To jump in here.
Oh, yeah. It's,
yeah.
It's funny. The one of the reasons that I became friends with Houston was after reading her book, you would not believe. I've said this online. I don't have a problem saying it now. She's talking about all this futuristic and sci-fi stuff. It is so easy to follow in her book, and it's wound in there so beautifully. And, you know, there's nothing worse than reading a book that makes you feel stupid. You know, especially if it's erotica, you don't
right.
to feel stupid.
Well,
you know,
exactly.
You might get
you're
like
trying to get hot. You're trying to get hot.
Or some weird word, but yeah, it is so
right.
easy. The very beginning of her book, there's a dictionary glossary, and I thought that was a little weird at first, but then I saw how is just very simple, and it's very easy to understand, so that you and me, maybe, or somebody who's not so much into sci-fi, can look at it quickly, know what the hell is going on, and get into the story, and, you know, the hot sex she's having with these three guys.
Well,
and are these three guys
like
aliens and shit, or what? Are they people? Or?
No, they're brothers. They're brothers.
Well, see,
but okay, so they're people. But I mean, are they aliens or?
Well,
extraterrestrial.
You
know, or
race of humanoid,
more about
I think.
My theory. The first book has regular human beings, and then because I'm writing futuristic fantasy, you're going to start. Each book reveals different type of characters. There are those that are called star writers. In book three, they will reveal more of who the star writers are and where they've come from. So you're going to start getting it. But keep everything in a very real type. You're never going to see alien that looks like some strange creature with goo coming out of his mouth in my books. They're going to actually be real people, even though they might be aliens or they could be fairies or they could be, you know, different types of alien races. So
we won't have no Jabba the Hun coming to try to get some from Yoda, a little dude trying to get some pussy or nothing like that.
No,
okay,
Yoda.
I got you. Okay, okay.
But
all
there
right.
will be aliens.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But
that's
I try
good.
To keep it
that's
so
good.
That everyone can enjoy the book. I don't go too far in the sci-fi because it is basically an erotic story. So
right. Well, the good thing is you, like you said, you create the world, and you want the world to be where people can enjoy the world that you created. So,
yes.
And it, now it sounds like Futurama to me a little bit, you know.
A little bit,
if
yes.
You ever, if you watch that cartoon, it's pretty intense as far as that, and they get sexual real quick on you and everything. But, yeah.
Yes.
So that's good.
Well, I've had a lot of reviewers who originally said sci-fi is not my thing or futuristic fantasy is not my thing, and they really actually did not want to read Simple Surrender, but they read it because it was a menage, and they were shocked that they actually loved the story. And I've been fortunate. I've had a lot of five-star reviews.
So
will
you
a lot
have,
of people who,
will you have some aliens that have, like, two dicks or two cocks on top of each other stacked or, you know, shit like that, or three pussies and four, you know, shit like that. I mean, it's going to be...
Now you're getting the hentai, I think.
It is hentai.
Well,
I'm just asking because it's funny.
Who already did the two cocks, so I can't do that. So she's already got
it. Stacked
that.
On top
of
each other,
more
yeah.
creative.
I think I saw that in a cartoon or something where it was stacked. Might have been some heavy metal shit or something. I don't know.
We don't need to know about your porn searches there, Red.
Yes. Believe me, you do not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. But like I said, I'm just glad that y'all wanted to come on the show, that you didn't, you know, you just want to come on and just do an interview or just talk about your work. Because a lot of times people will look and see stuff and they'll say, all right, I'm not going to do that. I might look at the title and judge it and think it's only one way, but I'm glad you guys accepted the invitation that just came on the show. And you know you're welcome
absolutely.
To come back. Once you come on the show, you can come back. Anytime you do a new book or anything, all you got to do is just let me know, and we'll get you on. So,
I would love to. Both of us girls have a new book coming out in a month or so. So, you know, we're aiming for, you know, in a few months, both of us will be having something new.
Okay. Well, you know, you can, like I said, just let me know if either you can do a full interview or you can just come in and talk for about 15 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever about your book. It doesn't matter, whatever you want to do. We always like to have, we always like to have authors. I always like to schedule at least two authors because a lot of times one may not show up. It's not often that two don't show up, but most of the time one may not show up. And then again, when we have all our hosts on the show, all of us are authors as well, so we can always come up with a comment. Usually what we do is we'll bring a subject. After we talk to the authors and let them do their interviewing, we'll come up with a sexual subject matter or something to do with relationships. But since we're already talking to you guys about erotica, we're not going to do that. We're just going to go into I'm going to ask some questions about you being used to being a swinger and shit. So, you know, how do you not be a swinger no more after being a swinger for so many years?
Well, Anita, that's your question.
Well,
yeah,
I didn't say I wasn't. I just said the club is closed.
Oh, excuse me. All right. Okay. Baby,
yeah, we
I'm
had
sorry.
an actual brick and mortar club.
What state
and,
are you in? No, I'm just playing. No, I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you. But you know, it's fun, though, because, you know, like I said, you can't even, I saw your picture. I think you're a very attractive woman. Saw your picture.
Oh, thank you.
Then you wanted to come on the show. I was like, okay, that's good. Let's get her to, on here to talk shit, you know, get the white girl side of it, and it's great.
It is interesting, and, you know, people should talk more. You know, we could break a hell of a lot of barriers just by talking to each other.
Exactly. Absolutely. DV, what you think?
Hey, I put it in the chat room. I was like, they can go ahead and host the show next week. We'll call it Houston Sexy, and we can talk all about
that.
The ins and outs of swinging.
Oh, Houston Sexy. I like that one.
Yeah, that sounds good. I kind of like
back.
That. Yeah. But,
I'll come back, and then I'll drag Anita with me.
So do you guys see in the future, what do you see 5 to 10 years from now your books doing? Or you see them in movie form, or do you see them in plays or something like that?
Oh, hell,
oh,
man, your lips to God's ears. I mean, if my book got made into a movie, then I could drive something fancier than a PT Cruiser convertible.
All right.
Well, I'm hoping mine will make it into movies, because I've had a lot of people say that the visual that I give them in the books, they can see it. They can actually see it. And the way I wrote it so that someone would offer put it into movie form. So I'm hoping, because
so
it's kind of like...
So, you know, it's easy to write a screenplay. You've already got
the
movie written. It's in your book. So you just take the book
and
just put it in the format. It's not that hard to do.
No, I actually have screenwriting software. I just haven't had time to piss with it. You know, I mean, I got
actually,
the next
let me
book
tell you,
I got to write.
It's actually easier to write a screenplay than it is a book, actually.
Oh, it is, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting,
so, you know,
and I'm actually right now I'm auditioning for audiobooks. I put my books up for audition to get them put into audiobooks, because I've had people just cranking at me just to, you know, get it on audiobook, get it on audiobook. You know, I want to read it, but I don't have time. Well,
yeah,
I'm
so
sorry.
They can listen to it while they're riding down the street, then they have to stop their car on the highway and shit and jack the fuck off, and then go head on or whatever. Got it. Understood. Well, you know, I would like to do that myself.
I can tell
that's
you, Mr. Cox is very happy when I'm writing a new book, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm sure he is, because you probably just go off on him, huh, when she starts.
Yeah, you get done writing a scene, and you're like, honey, what are you doing?
I got to test the scene out, sweetie, so come here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let me see.
Sure. You want a foot rub?
No,
I gotta go back to the sci-fi piece of this now. Do you have, like, people upside down fucking this shit, or what?
Wait,
how does that shit work, man? I'm just, you know, I like messing with Miss Houston here. So, I mean, I'm going to have to get one of your books, because you got me interested now, really, really interested. I usually try to read before the author comes on some of their book, if not the whole book. But, you know, you guys are interesting, and I want to keep up with you, and you know, keep, as you go along with your projects and stuff, and just kind of keep us abreast and come on the show. And if you just want to come on and talk shit, you can do that as well. Is what I'm saying. You know, once you come on here once, you can come on.
You might not get rid of me if that invitation's open.
Well, I'm telling you, we have people that come all the time. I think Tony, is he still here? Or is he gone? We've had other people come on who. You know, they just come on the show, and they come on when they want to, and we invite them in, and if it's a subject they want to speak on, they speak on it, and we go on from there.
I'm
going to
be a regular fan of yours, Red Snapper, because I'm having
fun.
I'm going to be a regular fan.
Yeah, me and DV Hen here, we do this thing. We do it once a week. Yeah, we have been doing World Sexy Radio for, like, at least 5 years, and then we stopped for about 8 months, and then we started again. Just about 4 months ago, I think it was, we started. Was it DV? And
was it May? No, it was June. Was it May?
Yeah, so we're May or June, something like that. But anyway, we're back, and hopefully we'll stick around for a little while because a lot of people really missed our show because of the way we do our show. We want you
well,
to be
Red,
comfortable.
I know this is asked backwards, but can I ask you a question?
Ask me a question.
Yeah, are you self-published?
Yes.
Okay, so did you get your letter from Amazon asking you to email Hatchet?
No.
You didn't get the email?
No. They sent the email out saying, what now? Again, I'm sorry.
Amazon sent a letter out to all of its Amazon authors, the self-pubbies, to email Hatchet. You didn't get that letter?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
So what do they want to do? They want to cut down on the books or what?
Well, you know, the whole battle's been raging for quite a long time, and Hatchet got their $166 million censure by the court for being, you know, naughty. And, you know, Amazon and Hatchet's been going back and forth, and your partner was talking about it a while ago, but they asked their authors to email Hatchet and tell them how unhappy they were. Because while you have, like, James Patterson speaking out against Amazon offered to, you know, compensate Hatchet's authors, even though Hatchet won't come to terms with them. And Hatchet turned him down and said, no, we don't want the money, thereby screwing their authors. I don't know about you, but that's just bunk. But, I did not email Hatchet. I blogged about it and basically said, no, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not getting involved because... You know, you got two titans fighting, and we're just real pissants at the bottom of the barrel. We're not millionaires. These are billion-dollar corporations. Not my problem. But
yeah.
As long as
they let us continue to publish, and you know, the little royalties we do pay them, you know, it's to me is worth to be able to put your own work out the way you want to. And you know, I tried to get published mainstream. You know, a lot of people just wasn't ready for what I got, so I just left it alone. And I did the Arthur House shit. I did all that in the beginning where you don't know nothing and you think you got to pay somebody to do it for you, and then you find out the truth.
Oh, hell no.
You know, I went through all of that shit. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with the way it is now, the way I'm doing it, putting it out myself. I have to market myself anyway. Because even if you were a mainstream company, you still got to market your book. I mean, they're not going to do it. They're only going to do so much.
Hell no.
But if your books aren't selling, you know, the way they think it should be, then, you know, they're not going to market you. And then after a while, if the little money they gave you in advance royalties, they ain't going to give you no more if your books aren't doing anything, and then they're going to want you to take those books back. So it's better just to go ahead and do – I know a lot of people don't like print on demand because it's hard to get into your Barnes & Nobles and all this kind of stuff with that. But you can do consignment deals, and maybe you can buy some books in advance or go through a lighting source type thing, an Ingram thing, and they have these books in the warehouse, and you can still do that. But
like 8%. 8% of book sales are paper. Everything else is e-books. So you're not missing out on not being in the Barnes & Noble that's going to close next month.
Exactly, because a lot of them are falling off. I mean, Amazon is kicking their ass. You know, because they've never had stores. They've always done this shit on online. And people, that's what they want. I mean, whether it's an e-book or they can just buy one they want to put in their hand, they're going to go that way. I mean, Barnes & Noble, the only thing they have was coffee.
Doesn't matter if your book, right.
You know.
And then it doesn't matter if your book's print on demand. It just doesn't. Because the person getting the book in the mail has no idea.
Yeah, they don't care. They just want the book. The motherfucking book comes when they get it. Yeah, so you know... So that's the reason why I stayed the way I did. You know, I had my own publishing company for a while now, and I still do, and I use that to publish my stuff through CreateSpace or whatever. You can always put your own publishing company and your own ISBN number if you don't want to use theirs. It's fine. You know, you do what you want to do. It's so easy now with technology, and that's why these mainstream companies are pissed, because you can now publish your books. I mean, that's why the urban fiction books are really hot and a lot of other types of genres that are really hot now, because people can put it out when they want to, the way they want, and you don't have to go through all this bullshit. And these authors that are mainstream are pissed because they may have had to go through some jumping through hoops and shit, so now they want to talk shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, trying to query an agent, I'd rather have a root canal than try to query an agent.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's very hard.
Agents seem to be harder to get than publishers.
Oh,
it is. Yeah, because they want to drain your ass, you know, and it's just really, you know, our publicists, you know, you have one of them. You know, it just depends, you know. I just like the way it is, and I have 15 books out, and all of them are self-published, so fuck it. They're selling. I'm doing good. I got.
That's all that matters. You know what? The wonderful thing about this business is, especially for the erotic authors, not only can you share your freaky side with the rest of the world and even give some people an education, you can, you know, if you do it right, you know, there are some months, man, I make money. Some months, I can buy myself a hamburger, you know.
Right,
I mean,
right, yeah.
It just
that's true.
With cheese?
Yeah, with cheese. Oh, yeah, okay.
No fries, though.
Yeah,
living large,
yeah.
But, you know,
I mean,
the marketing aspect is probably the most difficult.
Well, that's
where
the most money is. That and in editing. Because you got these editors out there that will kill you.
Yeah.
They'll charge you $1,500 if you let them to edit your manuscript, which will, if you went through some other way of publishing, will cost more than you going through the system to publish if you was going to pay an author house or something. We know that you're now putting stuff on CreateSpace. They still want to kill you with so many words a page or whatever, or how many words they got. I mean, you know. And then what's really killing you, what really kills you is the author, the reviewers out there that have no knowledge and may not have never written a book in their life, and they put a review out on your book saying how fucked up it is or how good it is or whatever.
Right.
That's the part that I don't like. I think they need to come up with some system or way of reviewing to give you some type of something. Something that makes you relevant to be able to tell me that I'm fucked up.
Well, there's actually
that I'm good or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know. We go over this all the time. DV, he has his own opinion about it as well. But, you know, I just think that, you know, all it takes is one review to mess you up or say you're good.
Yeah.
And you know, people go by that.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is sad because really, with like I said, with the way that Amazon shows the first chapter for people to judge for themselves, because they don't realize how much in the background is going on with other authors trying to sabotage other authors, and they put out fake bad reviews, and they just don't realize how hard, like you said, how hard we actually work. We give up our holidays, we give up our weekends, we give up our time with our family to write the best books that we know how. And there really should be some form, that a standard way to review. And it's tough because Amazon allows people to read a book, and I know there are some people who can read a 450-page book in an hour or two. They're speed readers, and then they return it. So they've just read a book for free. It's another way of pirating, and it makes it hard because it's hard, like you. Your friend, Tony, was that his name?
Right, yeah, Tony, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tony, he was saying how he has a job, and he's still writing at night or on the weekends or whenever he has a free moment. And it's not easy when you're doing two jobs. And it's hard. I know Anita and I both were full-time writers. And every book that we sell helps to keep us in this as a job rather than having to go out and get a job and write at the same time. Because anyone who has a job and writes, they know how many sacrifices they really are making. Yet it's in us. Writing is a part of us, and we don't know how to turn those stories off until we get them into a book for someone to read. So,
it's also known as schizophrenia.
Go ahead, Bibi. You said you had something to say, didn't you?
No, like they pretty much said it all. You know me. When it comes to reviews and whatnot, I think the thing that qualifies you best is the fact that you read the book. You know, it may not always be, you know, the best, but let's be honest. You know, not everybody's going, if everybody loved what we did, we would never become better, ever. Because, hey, well, they like what I did. You know,
I'm not even saying it for that. It's not the bad reviews. I'm just saying that make sure that when you do it that you know what you're talking about. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some people drop reviews and they sound like idiots. Well, they talk about the author can't spell, and then the review would be littered with, you know, misspellings. You know, so I mean, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but they're not. The thing is, your fan base, you know, has education backgrounds that are as large and as small as it gets. And the thing is, they're not promoting themselves as being, you know, a PhD in literary works. But the fact of the matter is, I still want to know if you love or you hate it. Now, those 2- and 3-star reviews, man, those are like a knife. Those suck.
Oh, yeah.
And it
hurts
to get
them. And it hurts our feelings.
Right, it does, especially, you know, you put so much time and effort into every single book and trying to make sure that it's perfect. But at the same token, you know what? When I'm looking at Amazon and I'm buying books, if I take myself out of the author's shoes and I go in and I'm looking at reviews, I always skip over the professional reviews, always. I only read what the 1- and 2 sentences that they either loved it, they hated it, why. I skip the real long reviews that the professional reviewers write, which is ridiculous because that's what I look for as an author.
Exactly. Because those long reviews actually tell the people the story. Why they're giving a good review. And I sometimes I find the shorter reviews, the ones that are aimed really just to critique in a way that is more hurtful to the author. Usually those, I mean, I've had people on one book, they just said that, you know, they didn't even bother reading it. And I'm like, well, then how can you give a review if you didn't read it? And she assumed certain things about the book, and that's what made her stop reading the book. And it's like, you know, if you had read just a page further, you would have found out this or found out that. But
right,
make the reader read things. But if you didn't read the book, then you shouldn't be able to give a review.
Right.
But I don't mind the good and I don't mind the bad reviews. If, you know, like you said, it's all their opinion, and they have the right to that opinion. And it does. It will make you a better writer, or you'll take in consideration what is said. As a good, honest critique, I can take those all day long. Those don't bother me. If it's just a personal attack against me as an author when they don't know me as an author, those are harder to understand. And you kind of just have to take that as part of this business, but you can't let it, you know, go into you, because it would affect your writing to the point where you would either stop, and I've known some authors that do. They stop writing when someone puts out something not so nice about them. And that's a pity, because the world can lose a really good author, because I mean, you can build that hard shell if you want to, but it's hard for those who aren't able to do that, for them to take those kind of hits.
Right.
And,
okay,
but
so,
you gotta be a tough old broad like me.
Yeah, you're not old, you're beautiful, so stop it. Okay. But now, let me ask you guys, have you ever thought about maybe doing like an anthology or something with someone, a collab with some authors, and just do like a
was approached by a group of authors. It's my deadline is November for a paranormal erotic anthology for the holidays.
Okay.
So
you're gonna do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only 20,000 words. I used to be a legal secretary. I type 85 words a minute. It takes me no time at all to write 20,000 words.
Oh my God, I envy the woman.
Yeah, she there she goes. Okay.
Hey man, that was after years listening to pompous ass lawyers barking in my ear.
Yeah.
So, what are you guys? How many thousands of words do you do in an hour?
Shit, I'm pecking. I'm a good pecker. I can peck like a motherfucker. I ain't gonna say I'm a. I get my books written in about 3 months, but that's about it. Because I work. I'm like the other guy. I work and shit. Because I can't just sit there and write books. I wish I could. I wish I was getting it in like my frat brother Eric Jerome Dickey and all them. You know, they can sit back and. His publishing company sends him to goddamn Bahamas to write a book for 45 days. And he gets the book written, and then he comes back. So, you know, I don't have it like that. You know what I'm saying?
No,
so,
see, I'm like you. I don't need. I'm a slow writer, but it's because of, you know, the way that I see my story and stuff like that. I wish I could do like Anita and just type those things. That's why she's got so many out there, and I just don't.
Well, you know, it'll get done. It took me a long time to get mine out there, but they're out there, so fuck it. You know, I may not be able to type as much as her, but hey, I'm getting them out there. But anyway, that's good. You know, it's good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we just, you know, we're glad that you guys came on, and I'm glad that you want to spend the time. We still got some time, and like I said, I don't want to hold you if you don't want to stay, but I'm here. We're here. We got about 30 minutes, so I'm going to keep going.
Oh,
over,
I'm in it with you all the way, Red. You can't get rid of me that fast. I'm an Irishman.
Okay, well, we're not gonna get rid of you. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask you. DV, remember what you used to do? I know you're not prepared, so I'm not going to ask you to do it, but remember how you used to have your five questions?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was more like 10. More like 10 questions.
Yeah, 10 questions. I wish you had some that you could ask these women, because I would love to get those questions that we usually ask, like there was like 10 questions.
Oh,
what
are
you
those
the fire
questions?
Yeah, the fire questions.
Random.
They're random. He'll
like,
ask
you know,
something.
Yes.
But they wouldn't be random, because I would be thinking about these questions all day. You know, but I would make them. I would just ask just random shit, like, you know, I don't. Man, it's been a while. It's literally been maybe a year or two since I've had.
Right.
Those
questions. Yeah. We have to get you back on.
To ask us those questions.
Is that what it is? Is he afraid? Okay.
He's afraid.
Actually, he's fired for being unprepared.
Yeah. Exactly. That. Never mind the coworker of mine that died. Yeah, forget about that guy.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a bad week for that man. It's just horrific.
It sure is. Lauren McCall passed away today, I see, and of course Robin Williams passed away. Yeah, so you know, it's been bad. These are people that not taking from your coworker. I didn't know him, but these are all important people. That, you know, they say it happens in three, so I don't know if there's going to be another celebrity or anything, but, you know, it just...
Well, you know, the thing is, every single life lost is a travesty. I don't care if it's a homeless bum on the street that no one knows or a celebrity. The difference is with the celebrities is they have touched our lives in some way, shape, or form. I actually got into an argument with an actual friend of mine today because he was being kind of a dick about, you know, people paying attention to depression now that Robin Williams committed suicide, and...
Right.
You know, it's
not. I like
how
you said dick, by the way.
Yeah, it's just not. There's nothing entertaining about suicide and to be a jackass about it because it's a celebrity. I mean, yeah. I mean, the dark irony of somebody who brought so many laughs and smiles to the rest of us and didn't get any of that in return is just sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Especially, you know, I definitely wasn't expecting, not anybody, but I definitely wasn't expecting that to come from his camp, you know, so.
Right.
But, you know, he was suffering from that for 20 years, so, I mean, it's, you just don't know what people are going through, man. They put the face on and let you see one side of them, and you just don't know what's going on in their house, you know.
But
so,
I think a lot of people who do suffer with depression are that way. I think they show the public that very happy person like we saw with Robin Williams, and the only people who see that darker side is those that are closest to them, and maybe even they don't see it. It depends on the person who suffers with depression like that. I've known a few friends that have, and you never knew they were the type to be depressed unless you were close to them.
Hey, let's not forget something, that we all have something very, very much in common, artists. And we are artists. Everyone in this discussion is an artist in our own right. Artists are, for whatever reason, at the highest risk of suffering from depression. I mean, the more creative you are, Anita,
I thought you were going to say we all had sex in common, not depression.
Well, we have the two, you know. And at least, that's therapy, honey. That's therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know I'm never going to let you suffer with depression, young lady. I'm an Irish girl. I'm going to come over there and kick your ass if you get depressed.
You can take a promise.
But you know what?
You're going to come kick some ass. Okay. Go ahead, BB.
Hey, I just, you know, my thought is if I ever get depressed, man, Red, just bring me somebody and bring me an orgasm. Maybe that'll help. You know,
it
just
does. It does. It releases endorphins, man. If I said
yeah.
it's straight up therapy.
If I bring them staff.
Well, I hear you, man.
There's nothing
don't...
depressing about an orgy.
No, it really isn't.
An orgy.
She said an orgy. Okay. Not an orgasm, but an orgy. Okay, I got
gotcha.
You.
Well, one should bring
one
the other,
the
don't you think?
One in the same. Semantics.
There you go.
Well, yeah. So, I mean,
so are we
going to
get some sexy questions like what's our favorite position?
Sure,
DV,
there you go. DV.
That sounds so
we can ask it.
Hell yeah, you have a half hour
to
make the shit count.
Well, okay, we do. We got 29 minutes, so let's do this. Since you brought the positions, how many do you need in your orgy, and what is your favorite positions? And I'm going to start with you, Houston, since you brought that up first.
Oh, that's not fair.
Well,
first of all, how many positions in an orgy? Well,
how many
as
positions?
Many people as there are there. So let's see. Let's go. Okay, let's say. All right, let's see. One, two, three. But there has to
so
be
how many? Okay, let me
positions.
Say it like this. How many cocks do you want at once?
Oh, okay.
If you had the choice.
Yeah.
And where?
And oh, okay. Answering as Houston Haven.
Nah, none of that shit.
Oh,
yes,
yes,
question.
Yes. I'm not skipping around the question. I'm answering as Houston Haven. And she would like, let's go two. And where?
There's only so many places that you can stick that motherfucker. So where
I know,
want
and it's a hard choice.
Hey, there's some pretty imaginative
you ask. There are some weird ass fetishes out there.
I bet.
Well, it's hard to decide, but I think I've decided. For tonight.
Well, the chat room says ass. Okay.
Let's just say mouth and pussy. Of course, I could be brave and say the other, but we're not supposed to talk about that.
Okay. All right. So you okay? Say that again. You want it to be where now?
I picked the mouth and pussy.
The mouth and pussy. Okay. All right, Anita. What's your favorite?
The question is, what's my favorite?
Where do you want it at? What's your favorite positions, and where do you want it at?
Oh, the favorite has to be doggy. It has
and how
to be.
Many?
I'm not into triathlon, so I'm going to go with two.
Okay, ass and pussy.
Other than that,
right,
it's
so,
just work.
Or is it mouth and ass, or mouth and pussy, or what are we talking here?
Well, you know, it depends on how talented the person is in the behind. But, yeah. What is it? Two and
okay.
Three, one
and
the same.
And, okay, the other question that everybody always asks women all the time, because women are mixed up on this, the size issue, does it matter or does it not? Or is it how he works it?
I'm sorry, what?
I know what she's laughing at.
She's laughing because does size matter?
Hell yeah, it does.
Okay, and so as none of this, he might have a little dick in hand, work it a certain way.
Well,
that's the thing. It depends on how he works it, because even if he has a big one, if he doesn't know how to work it, that's not going to do it for me. So he better know how to work it, big or little. I'll take it as long as he can work it.
Porn star cock is healthy for no one. Is no good.
Okay.
I said,
DV?
I said porn star cock.
Did you say a gherkin?
Oh, Jesus.
Houston, I said porn star cock is healthy for no one. When it gets to be looking like it belongs on a hoofed animal, I don't want anything to do with it.
You know, a lot of women say that. You know, I've been hearing that a lot lately, that if it's a fucking donkey dick, they don't want to be bothered with that shit, which I don't blame.
Oh, no.
You know, I would assume that 9 inches or less would probably be just enough, as long as it's maybe 3 inches around, and that would probably work it be enough.
Probably
yeah,
less.
You don't
what
want
do you think?
Too big. Well, let's put it this way. You know, you guys, how big do you want the breast? I mean, we've seen some women that get them really, really, really big. I mean, is that as attractive as a more...
Hell no. You're talking a loose pussy? Oh, no.
Ooh, no. If it can breathe by itself, that's not a good thing. You know, if it's got its own pair of lungs or it's just whistling... Nah, that's
no, we want our stuff. Of course, the tighter the better because you know that's where you get the feeling. You want to, if nothing else, you want to feel like you're big. If you don't feel big, then you know. I mean,
oh, okay.
You don't want to get
I
in somebody and you get swallowed up. Yes.
Exactly. Well, that's true. You don't want to be lost in there.
No, because you get lost in translation, you'd be fucked up. You're like, damn, I'm lost in translation. No.
All right. How
so
many of you have tried the grapefruit technique?
Say what?
The grapefruit technique.
Now, come on. None of you know about the grapefruit technique.
Do tell.
Oh, you kidding me? You really? Well, maybe the men don't know about it because usually
we
throw a blindfold the man. Because if he sees her walking with a grapefruit in her hand, he's going to say, no way are you putting that on my cock. She blindfolds him. Then she takes
you put
a grapefruit
on his dick.
Yes, it's around his dick. And when she goes down on him, she slides the grapefruit down the shaft. At the same time, she's lowering her head down the shaft. And then when she moves up, she moves grapefruit up with her. And she goes back and forth that way. And supposedly it's really, really, really hot. And you guys should get your girls to try it for you.
I call that lying.
Wow.
You know,
so are you going to come back on the show and give a dick-sucking class or something better?
You mean fellatio. Fellatio University.
A fellatio class? I'm sorry, excuse me.
Fellatio U.
Well, if you're inviting me, I will.
Okay.
I've done a lot of research.
And we will. We're going to have you. Yeah, you've done a lot of research. Okay. We're going to have you back on the show, both of you, because we want to talk about pussy. Now, how about, okay, let me ask you, women, because you know a lot of people always want to know, are you strictly dickly, or as we say in the African-American world, or do you mind a little pussy every now and then?
Oh. Well,
I
realize.
Both ways.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
You're back.
I said my pendulum swings both ways.
So you don't mind then? You'll go either way.
All right, yeah.
Okay. And what about you, Houston?
Well, I like cock a lot.
Okay. So you're strictly cockly then. I have to come up with a lot of cocky or something that would rhyme with that. Because, you know, strictly dickly, that works, but I don't know what
I
to
like
say about
strictly
cockly.
It's a good
okay,
way.
Okay, yeah, strictly. Yeah, okay. Okay, so you don't mind a little pussy eating, and okay, that's fine. And Anita, okay, that's great. So bringing another woman into the room, which if you had to choose your husband, I'm sure he would want another woman. But if you do, you often bring any others, and I'm not getting your business. I shouldn't even ask that question. Just scratch it, because I'm not going to go there. It's none of my business.
No,
but if you were hypothetically somewhere else, would you rather have, okay, not about your own relationship, but a hypothetical one,
yes.
Would it be best to bring a woman in or bring another man?
You know, it really depends on everybody involved. I mean, I know that's not the sexy answer, but the truth of it is it's more about the person.
That's a good answer, actually.
Right. Yeah, it's more about the person than what's really happening. You know what I'm saying?
And you're right. And I'm glad you said that. You know why? Because it's important when you do that, because it depends on who you're bringing in.
Exactly.
That has a lot to do with it, too, and their motives and shit. And what happens when you like that person that's brought in better? And then
yeah,
you start...
But do you really like them better? That's my question.
Then,
do you really like them better?
Right.
Because
and then
when
you start... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, when you're involved in sex,
you're going with the way they make you feel. And is there really one that's better than the other, or are you just getting stimulus from them both that just absolutely blows your mind? So is one really better?
See, that's a good that's good. I never looked at it that way, and a lot of people don't answer that way. That's experience. Okay. So
I've had my wild times.
I mean, I've had a couple of threesomes in my life, too. But the thing is a lot of times people will they don't look at it the way you just said it. They look at it as, okay, well, this person, because no matter what you do in a threesome, I don't care what nobody says, you got to give somebody more attention than the other one, even if you're not trying to. There's going to be something about one that might be more that you want to grab more on than the other. Does that make sense? Even though you're having fun with them both, somebody is going to get a little bit more attention than the other one. So eventually,
I think that has to do with whatever that, the mental sizzle, the connection,
right,
where you don't
know if
you're paying attention to one more than the other, and the other one might not be hitting that connection that night, so you don't know. The next time, it might be the other way around. It depends on, you know, like Anita said, the mood of the three involved or the four involved in it. So,
you
know, the big thing that matters is the preconceived notions people have coming into the situation to begin with. I mean, in real life and not in books, you know, sometimes things are clumsy, and, you know, that is exactly what kind of adds to the excitement of everything, because nobody knows what's going to happen. But, you know, there's a dynamic there, and if it's there, it's a really great time. If it's not, then it's, you know, like a freaking high school dance.
Yes.
DB, now you see why I wanted to bring these women on the show. Because they know what the fuck they're talking about. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, it makes sense. And you're putting it in an intellectual way, but it still makes sense. It don't have to be all sexual, the answer. The thing what you're getting out of what you're doing. Why are you doing it? Is it just for the good time?
Exactly.
Or, you know, those things have to come in sometime.
Right.
It should be
really,
in the thought process. Not all the time, but I mean, you know.
Any kind of sex. When you have a threesome or you know, whatever, an orgy, whatever, I think it's really not planned. Because when we go out with someone, I don't think anyone says, okay, now at 8 o'clock, I'll go over and I'll make a move, I'll kiss her, I'll do this. I don't really think people plan that. I think it's spontaneous. And I think the same thing would be for threesomes or, you know, or any kind of a menage. It's how
I think that's what makes it fun, though. It's spontaneous. Yeah, the spontaneousness of it is what makes it more exciting and more, you know, easy, or not easy to do, but more you want to do it because it's something you didn't plan, and all of a sudden you're in the bed with this person, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
But that's because of all of the because sex is on so many different levels. It's on the mental, it's on the physical, and it's on the verbal. It's how they smell, it's how they look, and all of that plays in to how we're going to, three of us are going to fall into something. Because you can imagine, or I can, sitting in a room, and you're just having a great conversation like we're having tonight, and suddenly the conversation goes to a little sexy, and then it's a challenge, and another one challenges, and then suddenly it's three of you find yourself in bed, and none of you planned it that way, but you're there. And
so, DV, if all of us was together, would this be happening? I don't know. Anyway, I'm just saying. All right. So,
wait.
where are we all at?
Okay?
Everybody's in different states, I think. So, I don't know where Anita is. I don't know where Houston is. I know where DV is. I know where I am at. But, understood. But it does make sense.
We're all safe, right?
but what you're saying does make sense. It's true. It makes a whole lot of sense that, you know, all those dynamics, people don't think about it. It just happens when they do it, and they don't know they're doing it. They don't realize it's happening. But you're right. All those things have to come into play for it to be successful, I think. You know, because like Anita said, it could be fucked up if it's not done right. You might start it. And it can be a disaster, you know.
Well, so,
and it
like
has
when,
been.
It has been.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where
you know,
they
I can
say,
understand.
Okay, it's time to go home.
That would be really
like
bad
when
to be
writing,
in something where that'd be really something
okay.
bad, you know, to get with
yeah.
this person. They look good and everything. They smell good and all this. You get them in the bed and they can't fucking do nothing. You know, it's just that would
they
be
smell
a
bad.
Just yeah, yeah, something is not right. You know, damn that I wanted to eat that pussy, but it stinks. I can't eat that shit.
Oh, no.
You know,
it's a fact.
Dick might be nasty. Might have dick cheese or something that stink. I mean, you know, it just what it is. You know. You know, it just messes the whole mood up. Our mom say something stupid because you know a man can fuck shit up by saying the wrong thing and just fuck all the whole everything up. You know.
Well, I'll tell
yeah.
you guys. I don't
the
know.
Worst is when the worst is when things just go to shit and then you know, like I said, a lot of people have expectations. I'm one of them, and when those expectations aren't met, you're like shit.
Why
all right, I guess
I'll
watch some Law and Order.
Yeah.
Damn, that's fucked up. I'm watching Law and Order. Okay.
You know what happens, you know, because some people talk a lot of shit, and that's what they do. Oh, I can do this, or I can do that. And then you're
right.
like, yeah, you know, I'm really hot, and I'm waiting for this, and then it just doesn't materialize. And now you're just like, damn, I could have had a Kit Kat or something.
Well,
exactly.
I tell you that usually it's the talkers you know that aren't going to perform.
That's true. When
they're talking
a lot of shit. Yeah.
Yes.
Usually when they talk.
Yeah. That's when you smile and you go home alone. If they're not talking and they're giving you certain looks, then you know you got a hot one there. But it's like when you guys write, well, I didn't know. Tony, do you write love scenes or you're going to do it in book two? When you write the love scene, what do? You lay out that very erotic, sensuous build-up to their having sex, right? So isn't that how it is in real life? I mean,
yeah,
when
it is.
When I
write those scenes like that in my books, you know, it's usually like, okay, they all sitting around and all of a sudden it just happens. You know, like I had one scene that I wrote in one of my books. There was four people together, you know, two girls and two guys, and they were together and all of a sudden they started doing truth or dare, and when they got into the truth or dare stuff, the story started getting into a sexual, you know, because they started asking questions about this. They had to remove clothes, you know, when they got something wrong. So, you know, once it got to that point, they started, you know, having sex because they got aroused or whatever. You know, it was, you know, so yeah, it's not planned, but it is kind of planned. And I think somebody in the chat room said that, you know, it's good when it's spontaneous, like you said, especially when you didn't plan it, and all of a sudden you're doing it, you know. But everything has to be right. The chemistry has to be right, and there can't be anything in there that will mess it up, like the smell or something like that. You know, you just have to check all those things out. Like I'm an expert at having threesomes and shit. But no, I'm just saying, you know. But all those play a factor. But I think a lot of people don't think about that. They just want to do it. You know, they don't think about all the mechanics of it. They just want to say, I did it, or you know, so.
Yeah, no,
but you ladies are. Go ahead.
That's a whole different ball game there. When they're just wanting to put the notch on the bed, I don't really know if that's really great sex. Because their main interest is that notch on the bedpost. But when you've got people that are actually enjoying each other, enjoying the laughter, enjoying the seductive looks, that's when it's going to be hot, no matter what. You know, we'll
So do you girls twerk?
Hell no.
I wish I could do that. I don't know how, but I wish I could.
Well, you know, white women, y'all the ones that invented twerking. You know, black women didn't. They just do it because their asses are bigger, but it came from, you know, the strip club scene, and a lot of women were doing, you know, were twerking first, and then they
I
just
look like a monkey
humping
a football every time I try.
What?
I said I look like a monkey trying to hump a football every time I try.
Really?
It ain't pretty.
Okay.
I haven't tried because I don't think it can go back and forth that way. Might go the other way. I don't know how the girls do it like that. It's going up and down instead of sideways. But it's really cool, like, and I wish I knew how to do it.
Can you guys teach us girls? Because you boys are better at the up and down.
Oh, no, we can't twerk. If a man is twerking, he's fucked up. Something wrong with his ass.
Hey, once upon a time, like,
but it could be fun watching you do it. There are other things that
don't listen.
Work too.
Men, like, when I was in Florida and when I was stripping, there was a lot of men that twerk better than the women. So I've seen it.
Oh, I forgot. Wait a minute. DV, I forgot she was a stripper. Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is new information for me.
So I guess she knew about twerking then. Okay, sorry.
So what I'm saying is I am not doing it, but I've seen it done.
But DV's right. It's funny because I have a daughter, and she always says that the boys can twerk way better than the girls.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, sure, because you boys are used to that motion, back and forth.
Yeah, you know, the thrusting motion. That's how you do it.
Wow.
It's just a jackrabbit thrust.
Okay. Well, I am not the one that twerks. I never was a stripper. I was a hoe.
Yes, but you know, actually,
I don't know anything about
lots of more fun to watching a guy twerk, especially if he's doing it naked, because now lots of things twerk all at the same time.
Oh,
so it's
rather
entertaining.
You don't want
that
happening. Because when it starts hitting
somebody
your belly
get hurt.
And falling between your thighs, it is just not a pretty sight. And it's not very comfortable either. It's not comfortable at all.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. We should put them a video here. You twerk for us and let us decide for ourselves.
I like her idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay,
so what do I have to do to get you girls to come back on the show in the future?
Just ask.
Okay, because we got some segments in the future, further down in the year as well. If you want to come back, when your new books come out, you know, you can just let me know as well, and we'll get you in. That's not a problem.
That sounds awesome.
I'm glad that you guys wanted to come on. I'm glad y'all did. The conversation has been great. I'm glad that y'all opened up and became yourselves, because I have to usually start it like that, because a lot of times people come on and they don't know what to expect, so they think they have to be in this tight mode of interview.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Like we're professionals.
Yeah. And it's not that we're professional, that we're not professional. We just don't want it that way. We want it to be like we're having a conversation like we're doing right now, and then the people that are listening really get into the show because it's a down-to-earth, at-home, laughing atmosphere. That's what we want. So,
Nobody wants an ad, man. You know, that's the thing.
Exactly.
Houston and I were both on another blog radio show, and it was torture. Nobody wants a constant advertisement. They just don't.
No.
It's not fun.
Right.
It's not fun.
No.
Yeah.
I think it's nice that you let us tell the readers that we have our books out there, but after that, I think they're interested in finding out who we are. And even though
Absolutely.
It doesn't really express all of who we are, because we have, you know, both sides of us, those of us that are, you know, into the interesting, futuristic, and those of us that are into the erotic and all of that, they only get to see a certain amount, but it does give them a small glimpse into who we are and what makes us write the stories we write.
Right. So what I want to do right now is I want
to
give you guys a chance. Right. Okay. I want to give you guys a chance to tell people how to get your books, and if they want to get you for a book signer or something, how will they be able to do that? We'll start with you, Anita.
On my site, I have a tab that tells them my schedule, so they can see what I'm doing and where to go if they want to get me. They can go to my blog at houstonhaven.wordpress.com. And from there, I have all sorts of buttons for my Facebook and my tweets and all of that. They can find me there. And I am there all the time. They can find me, and I will talk to them. And I would be happy to hear from them.
Okay. All right. So Anita,
I have a web. If they go to authoranitacox.com, they can find links to the books, the blog, and all the other goodies.
Exactly.
Okay. So y'all have toys and stuff and events y'all give away, like dildos or anything like that and shit like that? Do y'all do stuff like that?
No, but I tell you, I did find a spot where I can get condoms made up with my book cover on the foil package.
Really?
Oh.
Let
yeah,
me know about that shit so I can get some Red Snapper condoms.
I'll send you a link tomorrow.
Okay.
I want that
well,
link
you know,
too.
much as I hate to, I'm going to have to, this is where we get ready to close the show. But, you know, like I said, I really enjoyed you guys being on the show. And
oh,
I
right.
really hope that you guys want to come back because
oh,
this has
do.
Been a, awesome. So, you know,
we
it was great. I was hoping that Scott would have been here too. Huh?
We were just getting warmed up.
I know. Next time I have to, when I have you guys on a show again, I'm going to have it a 3-hour show. I have to do that.
Oh, my God.
A 2.5-hour show. Because you know, Blog Talk goes up. You can do 3-hour shows now. Did you know that, DV?
No idea.
They've extended it, man. Yeah, that's a long
broadcast.
That's a broadcast. You're right, absolutely. They have it where you can do that now. So, we definitely thank you guys for coming on, and we want to keep up with you online. And anybody who's out there, you know how to get to them. You do that, support them, and we'll just keep it going and keep it real. So that's what we'll do.
All right.
Thank
that
you.
Sounds awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Somebody else. It never happened to me. It never happened to me. It never happened to me. If I'm somebody else.